Welcome to the October 6th edition of the PFF Forecast. It is Wednesday night. We're doing this a little later, and we're doing this from home because, you know, fates are trying to keep us from recording the podcast. We will not let that happen.
No.
Hell or high water, whether you have been struck by a volleyball or fought a bear, we will overcome. And that's what we're doing. Wow. So this is going to be the regular Wednesday night edition. We're going to go through the slate, talk about our favorite bets, pick our lock of the week, try and get a little streak going on the positive side. Let's rock. I need to tell the people that we came on this show, hopped on Zoom, and you said something to me that was sports related that I legitimately had no idea what you were talking about. And it turned out that you were reveling in your WNBA butts. So congratulations. I'm proud of you.
James Wade and the Chicago Sky, which if you've listened to me on Twitter at all, I've denounced for their melting down. And they did have a meltdown session at one point today, but they are going to, they did defeat the Connecticut Sun, the favorite, the sixth seed being the one seed. And I always thought the Connecticut Sun were fake. So I bought a lot of basically every single other team in the league in their futures market. And so I was sweating bullets here, but now we have a fairly solid space. And I am even watching this baseball game, George, because in the preseason, I got your, because I'm a fan of Gabe Kapler, I got your San Francisco Giants like 60-1 to win the World Series. And it's like it'll be like $2,500 if they win. And I'm hoping the Dodgers lose to the Cardinals here because the Dodgers are like one game short of the Giants. Like, Giants are the best record in Major League Baseball.
I am.
But the Dodgers are their best opponent. And if they lose in the wild card round, you know.
What are my only question to you is like, I guess I have to get some residual from the Giants, right? Because, you know, I'm from San Francisco Bay Area. So I'm looking, I'm rooting
Gabe
for
him. Gabe Kapler in all the good ways is a lot like you, you know, fit, good looking, you know, has a good head on his shoulders.
Thanks.
You know, very sandy, like the connection is real, I think.
Okay. That's a nice transition into football. Wait, actually, one more question for you. When you bet WNBA, you have a model that you're using, right?
Yeah. Now, though, it's like so the thing is so I have a model for CFL and WNBA, and we do spit out numbers, and we do normally go with it. They're so non-stationary, though, that we'll oftentimes like there's a lot of hedging that goes on in the WNBA because we bet a lot of futures, so that's also part of it. But yeah, like. I have a model for, and Paul Carey, you know, one of our coworkers, you know, for shots in the NHL. That's as far as I go, in outside of football. So, yeah, it's fun.
Alrighty. If you want to learn more about WNBA betting, you can follow Eric on Twitter. Let's go into the games here. I would like to talk about the Thursday night game first. We talked about it on Sunday. And it's one of the best matchups, another NFC West matchup. Rams going to Seattle to play the Seahawks. The Rams are, interestingly, after a pretty substantial loss to the Cardinals, our ninth power rank team. I know a lot of places had them first last week. You know, basically every pundit you listen to picks the team that had the most impressive win that is in their top 10 and vaults them to number one. Seahawks had a pretty handy win over the 49ers, they're our 11th power ranked team. So these feel like fairly close teams, even though I think the market probably still views the Rams as significantly better. And the Seahawks are at home, a 2.5-point underdog. My gut on Sunday was, this is a great spot to take the Rams. I kind of still feel that way. I don't know that it's my lock of the week, you know, hopeful. But I'm curious now, having thought about this for a few days, where you're at.
Yeah, we took minus 1.5 on the show the other day. It's now minus 2.5. I think, obviously that 2 isn't worth that much. But, I do think the Rams come out and win this football game. I think Seattle is going to be overmatched from a tactical perspective. Seattle running LA's offense is also probably a good thing for the Rams to have on a short week. Seattle's home field advantage, though, like obviously, is a thing. Although they lost their only home game so far this year, the first home loss in the history of Pete Carroll era on their opening home game. The thing I think to be a little wary of is both of these quarterbacks. So the thing I kind of want to make a case for is the under 54 and a half, because I
Please.
think both of these quarterbacks have over 100 passer rating when pressured. Matthew Stafford's 120.1, Russell Wilson's 105.6. I think there's a combined one turnover worthy play among these two guys through two games or through four games. But both teams are negative EV running the ball, and the Rams are actually worse than Seattle doing so. The Seattle Seahawks have a lot of injury guys, right? So Carson, Eskridge, Everett are all, Posick, Penny are all like offensive players that are hurt for this game. So I think if I were to make a bet, I probably would go under at this point, but I do like the fact that we have LA minus 1.5 early betting.
Yeah, it's interesting. So I have just a fundamental problem with taking the under when you have Russell Wilson on one side and he's an underdog at home. Like what I you can just see this game playing out where the Rams can come out tactically, have a scheme that just eats up the Seahawks. And then Russell Wilson in prime time is gonna pull some crazy shit out of his ass, and like it's gonna end up, you're gonna feel great about the under the entire way through, and then all of a sudden it's gonna be gone. I am interested in your thoughts on Seattle as a teaser leg because of what I just said.
I
I
mean, yeah,
know
if
we've
you like
seen
the
that we've.
under, the teaser leg is a good one, right? Like, because you can get it all the way up to 8.5. That gets you through the 3, that gets you through the 7. I know teasers are becoming, I don't know, did you see my tweet? I thought it was a great tweet, but it might have missed you. So I was looking
Probably.
at John Stewart's new podcast, and the first podcast title was The Problem with Teasers. And so I tweeted and I said, it's really good that John Stewart's getting in the gambling space, because like I feel like teasers are being used too much now. Like, every tout in the world is like, hey, tease Washington out to 17.5 and tease, and it's like, no, like find low totals or totals you think are going to be low and find 2.5 and tease it up to 8.5 and just don't ask any questions. That's the only one that works. And you get that here because we like under. Last season, there were three matchups between these two teams. The first one, score, all of them were lined in the 50s total, I believe. The first one, 39 points. The second one was 29 points. And the third one was 50. And 50, in large part in that playoff game, was because of late Russell Wilson stuff, right? You had 17 fourth quarter points. That total actually was 42 and a half. I'm sorry, because of all the stuff we were talking about. Now we're talking about 54 and a half. Seattle has gone under in their games in 3 out of 4 games, including games where they couldn't stop anybody. Like it went under in the Minnesota game, and that was because of them. It went under in the San Francisco game, and that game just played under the whole time. It went under in the Indianapolis game, in a game where they outplayed Indianapolis substantially. So I kind of like, to me, if you like that, but you're inclined to bet Seattle, take them on a teaser leg. There's a number of other teaser legs that are good this week that you can pair it with.
You mentioned seeing bad teasers out there. I saw an esteemed podcast host who may or may not have a very, very famous podcast on a podcast network that rhymes with Dinger, who teased through zero. It was actually the Rams, I believe, teased from like plus four, or minus four to plus two. And I was
Which is, what the fuck are you doing?
I was so... Now, but here's the thing. I don't want to get like all on my high horse about it. I just want people to understand why that's a bad idea. The when you tease, when you pick up those points, think about each point as a potential outcome in the game and whether or not there are a lot of games that could land on that number. Because essentially what you're doing is those games are going from a loss to a win for you. And you need those to happen enough times that it makes sense for you to take on that extra amount of juice that the sportsbook is going to give you. So if you're teasing through zero, that means that that point zero counts as one of the six that you pick up. Now ask yourself how many games end with a differential of zero. And that should be pretty clear to you that you don't want to tease through zero. The numbers that you want to tease through are 3 and 7. And that's why 2.5 or 7.5, if you're teasing the favorite down, are so valuable. Just be on the lookout for it. Be keen, you know, don't be.
Yeah, I mean, that's the fact. I mean, and look, like, let's say just as a heuristic, like the points between 2, 1, 0, 1, and 2, even if you do 3 and 3, it's still like, mm-hmm. I mean, essentially what you're doing, cause you're going to get a push. Like if it's a plus, let's say you're -3.5, you want to tease it all the way out to +3, right? That'll get you there. You don't get that 3, right? Because that's going to be a push. And then you're sitting there hoping that your other tease leg hits so that you get your money back, right? But then, like, assume, okay, so let's be generous here and give 9% to 3, which is a little bit high. And then, like, basically 1 percentage point to even 0, right? So those other 5 points, you get 14 points, right? For a -120 teaser, you need... 14 percentage points. For a -120 teaser, you need both sides to be 74%. So if you take 74 and you're only getting 14, that means the original side you liked was a 60% bet, which means you have an 7.5% edge on the sports book. Just bet that.
Just bet
that. Right? Like, that's just what you want to do. And the reason why you tease through 3 and 7 is because the numbers in between, you know, from 3 to 8, are worth almost that, or worth that much. And then you add a little handicapping to it, which is like, we like the under, so the points are gonna be more condensed. We like that side, but maybe not enough. And then this is really the only reason you tease a side in the case, like, if you're limited at the sports book. So let's say a sports book will only take, like, you know, a certain amount on each side for you, and you still want to get more down, then that's a reason to tease, is like when you are literally limited by how much you can bet. Most people are not limited by how much you can bet because you're betting $50 to $200 a game or whatever. In that case, just bet your highest bet on the side that you like in that situation.
Amen. Okay. I have a bunch that I like, but I'll let you take me to the next game.
Okay, I liked a few this week. I was very selective. I went and bet a few of these at legal places in Indiana this week.
Kudos.
This is one where
That's why we have to do this remotely. You had to take a day to go to the sportsbook.
No, it was a different day, but I like this one because you are selling a team at their high, well, at a high, and you're buying a team at a low, much like we did last week with. We talked about Chicago. I like New Orleans laying 2 in Washington. Washington, a really good comeback win against the Falcons. Taylor Heineke has looked, you know, okay, you know, for him. And the Saints, of course, melted down at home against the Giants and lost a game. I think the Giants are a little bit better than the narrative suggests. So losing to them is not as bad necessarily as previously suggested. And Washington beat the Falcons, which...
Barely.
Exactly.
Add that, please. Barely beat the Falcons and allowed Matt Ryan to have by far his best game of the season. I mean, Matt Ryan, it was like kind of scary the way that he was playing quarterback. Like, he'd fallen off a cliff. I was getting people tweet at me like, hey, buddy, remember when you said that Matt Ryan is being better than Ryan Tannehill this year? And I was like, yeah, I feel like an idiot. But here's why. So we talked about this one on Sunday too. And what I want to point out about this game, and by the way, on Sunday it was 2.5 and now it's 2. So I haven't really seen significant movement there. But what I have seen is that the Washington football team is banged up. Jonathan Allen, questionable. Curtis Samuel, questionable. Brandon Scherff, out. Ioannidis, questionable. J.D. McKissic, questionable. Antonio Gibson, questionable. And then Taylor Heinicke, his grade is a 58.8. That's questionable. More turnover-worthy plays than big-time throws. I love the Saints having an entire week of Sean Payton reminding them that they lost to Daniel Jones without any receivers. This was one of my favorite bets.
Okay, good. So we're on the same page.
Yes.
I like that one very much. And so I'm glad you're
Okay.
on. Jameis Winston last week had a 90 quarterback rating, or sorry, a 90 PFF grade passing. On the season, he has a 127 passer rating when clean, and less than 4% turnover worthy play, which is less than what Heinicke has, and 6% big time throw. No targets to Kamara last week. I think that has to change at this point.
You would sure hope so, wouldn't you? I mean, like, if they're saying anything in that meeting room this week, it's got to be Sean Payton pointing out that Alvin Kamara is the only good offensive player that they have, and that maybe they should leverage him. By the way, all of the information and analysis that we leverage can literally be at your fingertips with a PFF subscription at PFF.com. There are two subscriptions. The first one is an Edge subscription, which gets you all of the content. So that includes our best bets and all of the opening lines for the upcoming week that we stay up till 4 in the morning. You were up till 4:30 in the morning, finishing that article this week. Plus all of the fantasy tools, projections, rankings, all of that great stuff. Just $9.99. Plus the 0-100 grades for every single player. Or an elite subscription, which gets you the tools that we use, PFF Greenline, which has all of the spread, money line, total predictions, plus the props tool, which, as you know, is my favorite tool on the planet, the DFS optimizer, for you to figure out how to play some DFS, and week by week grading. A little more expensive, but it's definitely worth your while. So go to PFF.com and get your hands on some of that. Want to make sure everyone is well aware. Okay, I would like to pivot from a spread to a total. And I'm very excited to finally be able to talk about a Jets game without thinking about taking them against the spread. That was just way too much for me to handle. They're playing the Falcons in Atlanta, and the total on this game is 46. And I think what we can take advantage of here is both teams suck. But the Jets faced such a hard schedule early on of defenses that I think their offense is still being underrated. Now, we have it as the 27th best offense in our power rankings, and we still like the over. And I think that offense, while maybe it's not fundamentally sound, is going to struggle against good opponents. It is certainly an offense capable of playing well against bad opponents. Zach Wilson, a relatively high big time throw percentage at over 4%, but a very high turnover worthy play percentage. That to me spells points. I liked what the Falcons did offensively last week against the Washington football team. So over 46 is a bet that I really like.
Yes, and that's a one I thought about. The obvious thing is like part of the, and again, I don't want to get called for tone here, but the part of the defense doesn't matter mantra is that, when I look at some of these efficiencies, the Falcons minus 0.28 rushing EPA, Jets minus 0.2 rushing EPA, like there's only so much a bad defense can do to help that shit out,
True.
And like the Jets are minus, a third of an EPA per play passing the ball. Atlanta's negative there still. That would be my only pause is that like I know both of these defenses are bad and we'll see, improvement there. The question is just how much, right? Like if this game like divulges into like what the Falcons Eagles was an opening day and it lands like 41 and one team wins like 33-8 or some bullshit like that, then I think we're both going to be tilted. There was one thing our friend Drew Dinsick, who is on the Deep Dive podcast, we've both been on that show and does some stuff for NBC Sports Edge. He did notice that there is an over bias in these London games, and so that might be something to think about. It is a standalone game. It is, from an entertainment standpoint, it might be something worth betting. I will be putting something on the Jets money line here as a hedge
Of course.
against
I mean, it's for the brand.
all the
Yeah.
Falcons overs I have,
It's
right?
for the
It's
brand.
like, yeah, and for the brand too.
You have you are contractually obligated to bet on the Jets every
To feel
single
pain on the
week.
Jets.
We write back to the lock of the week debate in just a second. But if you are looking for a great place to bet the lock of the week, I have the place for you. It's a friend of ours called DraftKings and the DraftKings
I was
Sportsbook,
just
the
there,
official.
George.
It's right there, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL. And here's the deal: you use promo code PFF, just $1. All you have to do, just bet $1 on an NFL game and win $100 of free bets if either team scores a point. Basically, what they're doing is they're giving you $100 of free bets. So go take that free money, baby, and then go spend it on some great player props or the teasers we talk about. Maybe there's a lot of overs on the board. Go make it happen at DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. You must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, Pennsylvania only. New customers are the ones that are eligible. Minimum $5 deposit, $1 wager required, one per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Also, you're going to do something like gambling. You're going to win a little money. Protect that money. Help it grow. Do so with our friends, sponsor of this wonderful podcast, Western and Southern Financial Group. Doesn't matter what you're doing. You could be buying your first home. If so, maybe follow Eric on Twitter. He'll help you out with that. Planning to start a family. Also, follow Eric on Twitter. He'll help you with that. Wondering how to
I
make
went
your
to
money
ballet
grow.
today, guys.
That exactly.
That's
That's
part of
why
what it's like.
the grit and determination of this man, I'm telling you, he couldn't do it without the Western and Southern playbook for financial satisfaction. That's what they're going to give you. So go to Western and Southern, sorry, westernsouthern.com/PFF and find out how to make your money work for you. Last but not least, our good friends at Manscaped. I tell you guys this every single freaking week. And if you're still waiting and you're still growing it out, don't be that person. Christmas is coming very, very soon. Actually, Halloween is almost here. If you're going to wear a Halloween costume, Eric, and you're not going to take care of yourself, just saying, go make it happen. The
Yeah.
Lawnmower 4.0,
It's
used it a
not a
couple
good
days ago.
costume to be wearing, right?
No,
Not a
that's
good
not the
costume.
cost. That is not the costume you want to rock. But they have really upgraded this version. I've told people about it a couple times. Battery life, way better. Light, way better. Blade is sharper, but also safer. Definitely feels like there's no way I could cut myself with it. So I use it. I wouldn't use it if I didn't think it was great. You get 20% off with promo code PFF at manscaped.com. Go get yourself in shape. And now back to the games. You
Here's
asked
one
me
I
what.
like, okay? And I'm with you on totals. I'm going to go with the total that's in the 40s as well,
Feed
just
me.
barely. Your Minnesota Vikings at home in US Bank Stadium, their third game in their three-game road trip. They are laying 9 against the Detroit Lions. The number's gone up from open. I believe it was 7.5 in open. People like Mike Zimmer against crappy teams, against the spread. And I think 99% of tickets on Minnesota money line tells you all that you need to know. However, okay, Jared Goff has been functionally okay this year. Functionally bad, but watchable. 114 passer rating when clean. Just 2.6% of his passes are turnover worthy. And we know how well Kirk Cousins has played this year. 85 PFF grade, 123 passer rating when clean. Also, 0.12 expected points added. The Vikings are passing the ball 63% of the time, which is up, from normal. Dalvin Cook is not getting the amount of touches that he's normally used to, which is generally good for them because if Dalvin Cook is on, he's a threat to score. But if he's not, then they're throwing the football to much more capable, explosive players like Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson. So, Vikings defense is low key dreadful. Cameron Dantzler on the COVID-19 list this week, as well as Harrison Hand. Michael Pierce, who has probably been their best run defender and also a plus pass rusher so far for them. He's questionable. They actually think he's going to be out for a few weeks. And you know, the Lions defense is just, you know, what are you going to do about that? They already got rid of Jamie Collins. Trey Flowers is questionable. And obviously Okuda's on IR. So there's a number of things here. I think unlike the Jets, Falcons, these offenses are good enough to take advantage of bad defenses.
So I see where you're at. By the way, low key dreadful. Yeah, I don't know if low key is the word I'd use. The Lions defense is high key dreadful. But this is not my
Soprano
favorite
dreadful, I should
over.
say.
Yeah, I actually like the Lions side of this more than I like the over side of this. And my rationale for that is kind of what you were just saying, which is, yeah, the Vikings defense actually isn't that good. And Jared Goff has been functional. And this isn't a game where there's going to be rain. I could see both teams kind of trying to see who will make their quarterback throw more first. The toughness of Dan Campbell versus the grit and toughness of Mike Zimmer. So, like, I see your point, but I also think 9 points. That's a lot of points for a Vikings team that isn't, particularly great. They're a 24th power ranked team. Like, I don't know that a 24th power ranked team should be favored by 9 against
Against anybody. Yeah,
anybody.
I think the number here is reflective of Zimmer's record ATS career. Zimmer's
Certainly.
record ATS against Detroit with Kirk Cousins is 5-1. The only time they didn't cover was last year on week 17 game in Ford Field. You know, Kirk Cousins is 6-0 against the Lions. I think it's all that kind of stuff. And that's the kind of thing where I think the sharp thing to do is to bet against all that bullshit. Because like last year, middle of the season, you would have looked at Mike Zimmer's against the spread record and you would say, Mike Zimmer is a covering machine. And then what do? They go 0-7 the last 7 games against the spread. This year they're 2-2. And like I think it's a good side. I just, you know, the hard part is I actually don't think there's a hard part. It's Detroit's healthy up front on offense, right? Like Sewell played the other day. He just didn't play that well, right? Ragnow, I guess, is on IR. The Vikings have one player on the team that can get a pass rush, and that's Danielle Hunter. And I think that's different than what we used to see where, like, I can remember betting Detroit a few times with you, and it's like, you know, they get behind, and it's like, okay, Stafford, let's backdoor this shit. And it's like Danielle Hunter and Everson Griffin swarming him, Linval Joseph, and it's like a fumble return. You know, this is a different Vikings defense. Not only are they bad in the secondary, but they're also, they have a one trick guy. They have one player in the front four that can rush the passer consistently. So if that's the case, you know, then maybe there's a case to be made. The problem I have with Detroit is that their weapons aren't very good. And so maybe somebody like an over the hill Patrick Peterson can look good in this game. I like what you're saying. I could be convinced about Detroit. I think everybody in Minnesota thinks this is a get right game, and nothing would make me happier than that not being true, honestly.
Weird. I thought you were a Vikings fan. Okay. I would like to now submit to you the second half of my Seattle teaser ticket. And this is a team that we bet on last week against the Vikings in a game that I'm really proud of. And the reason I'm proud of it is, every once in a while you're using PFF.com and you see something and you go, that just fucking makes sense. Shoot, sorry. I'm trying not to swear. That just makes sense. Myles Garrett going against Rashad Hill, we're like, this is going to be a nightmare for the Vikings. The Vikings offense was a train wreck. And even the Browns with Baker Mayfield literally spraying the ball all over the field, could not throw it in the ocean, cover the spread there. The Cleveland Browns now go to Los Angeles to play the Chargers. The Chargers are a 1.5 point favorite. The Browns won that game against the Vikings. Kevin Stefanski is not letting them think they won that game. They played like dog shit. And I really like teasing the Browns to get 7.5 with the Seahawks getting 8.5. I think both those offenses are, for different reasons, functionally able to keep games close. And Baker Mayfield played so bad last week. that I want to buy into, you know, them at kind of the bottom of the offensive market.
I like that. And I'll give you a couple other things, and I'll also give you the case for over 46.5. 46.5 is really low. Mm-hmm. And with a quarterback like Herbert, and like, honestly, Baker, we don't talk about his arm strength enough because he's just bad sometimes. But mm-hmm. like, he has an absolute hose too. Kenneth Murray's out. And I know we weren't huge fans of Kenneth Murray coming out of Oklahoma. And I know that he hasn't been like a world beater so far, but when a green dot guy, and I know he's not necessarily the green dot in that defense, but like when the middle linebacker leaves the defense, there is something to that. So even though the Los Angeles Chargers look suffocating against the Raiders, were very impressive Monday night, and Brandon Staley's worth all the accolades he gets, that's going to be a problem, I think. The Browns, one of the few teams in the NFL that have a higher positive EPA running the ball, but a negative EPA throwing. Baker Mayfield, the time that I subbed for you on NFL Network, I talked about how Baker Mayfield's passer rating when under pressure was going to somehow regress back to league average. Last year at the time, it was like 28. His passer rating when pressured right now is 32.8.
Incredible.
Passer rating when clean, 105.
It's regressing.
He's not throwing a ton of turnover-worthy plays. He's just being bad right now, but not prohibitively so. You know what I mean? So I like the over, and for a lot of the same reasons you would like the Browns, because I don't think the Chargers are going to be the reason this thing goes under. And so you're really saying, okay, Chargers score 21 points, 23, 24 points. Can Cleveland do that too? And I'm like, I believe they can.
Yeah. I'm with you there. I guess, I don't know, one of the reasons that, so 46.5 is just too low given how well Justin Herbert and the Chargers offense is playing. Yeah. I think that needs to be made very clear. And, you know, the Chargers offensive line has not been fantastic, but they're way, way better than they have been in the past. So, I'm really liking it. This is scary. I really like a lot of the different games this week.
All right, you're going to like this one too. Because I'm not counting that one as my pick, because you started the game. Okay. I am going to fade all of the narratives and go with your San Francisco 49ers getting 5.5 and sprinkling some on, and I've already sprinkled on plus about 200 in Arizona against the Cardinals.
I need you
talk
to be
you
tempered.
Off of that.
I need you to be tempered in your analysis here. Like, because I look at this and I go, I love it. I love everything about it. I think you caught the Rams off of an absolutely massive win against the Bucks, and it was a prove-it game for the Cardinals. The Cardinals came out and they played really, really freaking well. But it's Cliff Kingsbury versus Kyle Shanahan. So give me your analysis, but like, Give me the real stuff. Don't just sugarcoat this all for me. Trey Lance is potentially starting.
Here's the pre-mortem. Here's how this bet loses, okay?
Yeah, please.
Niners have some injuries, you know, sort of piling up. Kittle, Williams, Norman, Garoppolo. The Norman one, obviously, with the Verrett one, the cornerback situation for them with the wide receivers that Arizona can bring out there. That, to me, is the pre-mortem, right? It's the... Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness, how the hell did we bet on a team who has no defensive backs, or no corners at least, against a team that can throw the ball this well to that many wide receivers? Okay. Now, I personally think that Fred Warner can take some of that space away. I think some of the stuff that Murray does, Warner can mitigate a little bit of. I think they have good safety play, so it's going to be fine. And so that's kind of where I'm at. But I also, the reason I'm betting this game is that Arizona is similarly banged up at similar positions. So you look at, they're playing Antonio Hamilton, a former Chief player, who could not make the Chiefs defense last year, right? He's getting minutes for the Cards. He's questionable with an ankle. Byron Murphy's questionable with ribs. Byron Murphy's had a good season so far and has answered a lot of the questions we have about this Arizona defense. But the main reason is that their linebackers suck. Okay, they drafted They drafted Zaven Collins in round one. He can't even get on the field over Jordan Hicks, a guy who they told before drafting Zaven Collins that they were going to bench. Like, there's no chance that you're playing. He's playing, and he has a 49 run defense grade. Only worse than that at 42 run defense grade is Isaiah Simmons, the first round pick last season. And usually I don't care about linebackers' run defense grades. Normally it doesn't matter. But against the San Francisco 49ers, it matters, right? Because, you know, Shanahan's 2-2, two straight losses. I mean, you're getting his A shit here, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you're getting A1.
Yep.
And I think you're going to see a clinic on how to put linebackers in two linebackers in one gap at once and not the right gap this week. And whether it's Sermon, who I think has been elusive, or Lance, who I think is going to start this game, whether it's Juszczyk on some weird stuff, Kittle on some weird stuff, I think that the Arizona defense is going to have a very difficult time stopping San Francisco in this game.
Do you feel better about this bet? Because I don't think this line changes. Right now it's Arizona -5.5.
It's grown away from them, right? Because we bet it at 4.5, so it's gone towards Arizona because of the Lance news.
Yeah, I think that's the first game we've talked about on a Sunday that hasn't gotten closing line value.
Correct.
Do you feel that the movement now, the movement is fairly insignificant, you know, crossing five, whatever. But do you feel better about betting this game at this number with Lance or with Garoppolo?
Lance. It's just the unknown. I mean, it's just the unknown. I think Lance, I mean, here's the deal. Lance is going to, if Lance screws this game up, they're going to lose by 3 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. And like, do I really care if they lose by 3 touchdowns or 10 points? If I bet +5, like, I don't care, you know, like, mm-hmm. whereas if the Arizona Cardinals truly are outclassing the 49ers in this spot, if they outclass them with Garoppolo, the game's like, what, a 7-point game. And like, mm-hmm. this isn't a points bet. I'm not advising a points bet.
Maybe I could make the argument and I feel very strongly that the 49ers offense is going to be better with Trey Lance.
And go ahead.
I'm just going to say the reason for that, especially coming off a couple of losses here for Kyle Shanahan, the run game with Trey Lance, when it is game planned, I don't know that there isn't a scarier situation to face other than like one of the GOAT quarterbacks, like other than Mahomes or Brady or Rodgers. Like, I don't know that there's a scarier offense to face than the Niners with their full complement of offensive players. And Trey Lance, one of the, if not the most, you know, and obviously Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray are probably ahead of him right now, but like such an athletic freak with Kyle Shanahan. The spot here, fantastic. The Shanahan over Cliff thing, fantastic. The Cardinals just won a huge game. I can't remember who it was. I mean, there's like 5 pundits that give their power ranks every week. The Cardinals have been number 1 in like 7 of them. And it's all because Kyler Murray is a great fantasy player and people just shit themselves.
I wrote about, you know, the Kyler Murray thing for Peter King's column and it was very impressive. It's not as impressive as people think though, right? He's not leading the league in every category. He's not, you know, running as much. In fact, he's running less. The AJ Green has the most targets on that team. There's a lot of fragile stuff about the Arizona Cardinals that right now are going well, but don't have to go well forever. Here's the thing. The Niners are 2-2 and Garoppolo has played largely like crap. 0 big time throws, 7 turnover worthy plays. He's been bad. And they're also just, they're kind of boring. When you look at it, they have 128 targets, 70 of them, I'm sorry, have gone towards Samuel and Kittle, more than half. And you know, the third and fourth most targeted guys are Mohamed Sanu and Kyle Juszczyk at 12. Brandon Ayuk is a first-round pick for them as 11. Like, nothing to the backs, right? Nothing to the backs. And it's like, not like the question being like, oh, if Jimmy G's out of the lineup, they're not going to be able to do a lot of the things that, no, they don't do shit anyway. Like, so like, in fact, getting Trey Lance in the lineup might spread this thing out a little bit and make them less bad than they've been.
Yeah, the misnomer that is that Jimmy G has been playing well. That has just not been the case at all, as you pointed out. So
Or that
yeah.
offense has been like multiple and like it just hasn't. It's been boring and like, you can run all over Detroit and Philly doing that, and they had some success in the second half against the Packers, but like maybe Lance is the thing that unlocks Ayuk, or maybe Lance is the thing that makes the running backs a lot better than what we're accustomed to. Like, I don't know, but at least I think he's an upgrade. Like, and if he's not, then they lose by a ton, and you bet plus 5.5, and big deal. Like, you're not laying points with them right now. That's the thing. Like, that's why I think it's a good gamble.
I'm with you. I'm with you. Okay. Let's move on to I have one last
That was my last one. That was the last one I really liked. So,
Okay.
yeah.
I have one more that I like that I want to talk about. And that is and I know this is kind of stinky. So I'm going to work up a little courage here. The Chicago Bears are going to Las Vegas to play the Raiders. Total is 44.
I thought
Justin
you were going
Fields.
to say the New York Football Giants, and I was going to say, stop right there.
I was not going to do that to you. I'm not taking Jason Garrett after overtime victory. Please stop.
Like,
Even though that's seven
unreal.
against the Cowboys. The Bears are playing the Raiders. Total is 44. Now, I could understand this total. A little bit. The Bears have not been an explosive offense, even with Justin Fields. They are running like 16 plays fewer per game than the Raiders. But Fields now the starter. They are playing a Raiders team that is banged up at corner. Trayvon Mullen questionable. I mean, you saw that in that Monday night game. Like they had no one that could cover anybody, and the Raiders are a good offense that was asleep in the first half of that game. The Chicago Bears, Khalil Mack questionable, Akeem Hicks questionable. I think both of them, I think they're going to play, but a little banged up there. I also can't imagine thinking that David Montgomery being out is going to hurt this total. 44 is a really low total for Justin Fields, a rookie quarterback with an explosive arm. A spread of 5.5 being played on turf in Las Vegas with a Vegas team that has our seventh best offense in opponent adjusted grading. So over 44 is my last option here
The
for
last
lock of
gasp.
the week. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't mind it. I actually sort of like was trying to make a case for it. I think you can. I think the issue is that the offensive line for the Bears is an atrocity. Both offensive lines are bad, right, at this point. And Colt Miller's injured, questionable. I think Carr can overcome it. I mean, both of these guys are 8% of their throws are big time throws right now. I mean, Fields, it's weird because it's his passer rating when pressured is 13.5, so that's not great, for sure. But I think both of these guys, you can bet into them, so I don't hate that at all. I did not bet it yet, but I might. Just I'm convinced that it's a thing to consider for sure. So where are we gonna go?
I don't know that we've done a prop every single week this year, and we're
3 and
4 or 3 and 1.
1.
I looked at the props today, and I really don't know that there was any that I loved. I could make a case for Dak Prescott over 2.5 passing touchdowns at plus
Giants are
160.
actually a good defense, though.
Yeah, but
Like,
they're
that's
actually a
a.
good defense. I could make a case for Cooper Kupp or Devontae Adams over receptions. I could really make a case, and this might be my favorite one. Travis Kelce's gone under his reception prop every single week this year. It was a really bad game against the Eagles last year. They're playing a Buffalo Bills team that they torched last year, especially over the middle of the field with those linebackers. Plus, it's 7.5. So I could make a case there. But I think it's time, Eric, that we go back to a spread or a total. I feel it in my bones that it's the right thing to do.
I think my vote is Niners if we do that.
So I like the Niners quite a bit. The other ones that really stuck out to me were the Saints,
Yeah.
minus two in
Have
Washington.
we ever made Giannis a lock of the week is my question.
I
We're really not
don't
making
think
Giannis one though, right? We're
we're making
making
Sean Payton
Sean
one.
Payton against Ron Rivera, like an old, rivalry.
I also really like Jets Falcons over 46. I don't know if I'm ready to go back to a Falcons game though.
Have we
I don't.
ever, yeah, I'm not like the last thing I want to do is start my Sunday
With.
watching the Falcons lose 21-3 to the
Yeah.
Jets.
That's a really good point. And I was prepared to come on here, Eric. I was prepared to come on here and talk about the Buffalo Bills getting 3.5 points. It's now three.
So
We
you're
talked
talking
about the
about 2.5.
Chiefs. What'd you say?
You said 2.5, or last week was 3.5, and
No, it was so right now I'm seeing three. The Bills plus three. On Sunday when we talked about it, it was minus 2.5, right?
Yeah.
And I think we were, I'm not gonna lie, I bet the Chiefs that night. Like them at 2.5. Don't like them at 3.5. It's I'm torn there. I'll give you one more because I do think the Niners are a really solid one. What about a little teaser action? Do you hate the idea of having a teaser leg on Thursday and then waiting till Sunday at 4:05 to close out the lock of the week?
I don't hate it. So we're gonna go Seattle plus the 2.5.
Well, no, so it would be Seattle
Plus eight
plus
and a
eight and a
half.
half,
Yeah.
Cleveland plus
Plus
seven and a
seven and
half.
a half. Okay, I like it. Let's do it.
Want to do that one over the Niners?
Well, we could also do, cause is Buffalo really three? Because it was 2.5. That's a high total though. Let's do Cleveland. I like Cleveland.
You like that? You like a little tease?
Little tease, yeah.
First teaser. We might never pick a spread ever again.
No.
It's just gonna be
Well, at
weird
least we'll have a
shit.
little bit of a sweat tomorrow night on Seattle.
That's what I need. That's all I need is a little bit of a sweat. Okay, so lock of the week is a teaser. The right kind of teaser, though. We're doing this for the people, Eric. This
We
is to
are.
send a message, okay? This is for all of you to tell your friends how to bet teasers. Make
Yeah,
sure you
don't let
cross
Jon
three and
Stewart tell
seven.
you how to bet teasers. Let us.
There it is. There it is. That is the lock of the week. It is a tease with the Seattle Seahawks on Thursday night out to 8.5. The Cleveland Browns going to Los Angeles out to 7.5 at 4:05 p.m. Eastern time on Sunday. A lot of awesome stuff on the board. Go check it out on PFF.com. That's our show. Thank you guys for hanging out. Love y'all. See you on Sunday night live after Bills Chiefs.